overwhelmed today with just who God is. So I don't know what that'll mean or what that'll do, but God is good. And He's faithful. And if we will turn to God, if we will submit and come under His authority, and then we'll trust Him, then He will work miracles in our lives. And if we don't submit to God, and we don't repent of our sin, our lives just stay the same. Miserable. And my prayer is today that God would work in your heart, some people in this place's heart, to regenerate them and grant them repentance unto salvation. So we're in the book of Matthew, as we all know. We've been there for a while and we'll be there for a while. The book of Matthew was written by Matthew, of course, who was one of the 12. And it was written to the Jews. His audience was the Jews. And Matthew's purpose in writing it, or part of his purpose in writing it, was to show Christ's kingship. To show that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the King. And so we went through his genealogy and John the Baptist coming and paving the way for Jesus. And then we get to where Jesus starts his Sermon on the Mount. And we're in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. And this was the greatest sermon ever. It was his first sermon. It's the longest sermon in the Bible. So I think as we go through this, what we have to understand is this is the message he wanted us to hear. He wanted them to hear. We were talking in men's Bible study. It seems like we repeat a lot of stuff. You know what? We do. You know why? Jesus did. Some of these concepts he keeps trying to hammer home to us, to them. So, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is tearing apart their religious system that they had come to, they had established. He's just tearing apart that system. And we started out with the Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount, right? And what he showed them was they're self-righteous, pious, proud, arrogant religion that they thought made them right with God didn't. And here he came. They were looking for this king to come and take a political kingdom and to take them out of oppression. And he comes and says, no. To be in my kingdom, you need to be poor in spirit. You need to mourn over your sin. You need to be meek. Power under God's control. You need hunger and thirst for righteousness. You need to be merciful. You need to have a pure heart. It's your heart, people. You have to have a pure heart. He said, you need to be a peacemaker to be in my kingdom. All these things you think you are doing, that's not it. This is how you need to be humble, broken, reliant upon God and God alone. So then he did that in the Beatitudes. Then he moved into you need to be salt and light. And if you're in his kingdom, you will be salt and light. It's not you might be. Give it a try. If you're not salt and light, Jesus says you're not in the kingdom. You will be salt and light to this dying, decaying world that you live in. Then he goes and says, okay, I'm going to take and show you how bad your hearts are. He said, look, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, we just went through those issues where he said, you have heard that it was said. In other words, your system, your rabbinical teaching, your scribes and Pharisees have taught you this. But I say to you this. In other words, I didn't come to say this law. I'm not abolishing it. I'm going to interpret it for you more fully. And then he went on to say, you all think murder is killing someone. But I say to you, it's anger. You say adultery is just the act of sexual morality outside of marriage. I say to you, it's lust. You say you can get a divorce as long as you do the paperwork right. I say divorce causes adultery. He's gone through now and he said, this is what you think. You think loving your enemies. You have said, love your enemies and love your neighbors and hate your enemies. That's what you all said to this religious group. You say, love your neighbor, hate your enemies. But I say to you, love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemy. So he's taken, he says, your hearts are a mess. And now we're going to move into a next kind of little subsection in the Sermon on the Mount, where he's now going to go and he's going to attack and show them how their outward religious acts weren't cutting it either. If you don't have your Bible today, you can put up a hand and we'll get you one. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Anyone here? No? Matthew, anybody need a Bible? Please don't be shy. They're yours to use and they're yours to keep. Okay. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Now, as you're turning there, in chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, Jesus is going to go into three of their outward acts. He's going to turn from their inner mess that he just went through, and that you've heard it said, but I say, and now he's going to go to their outward mess, how they're actually living out their religion. He's going to go through three things in these. He's going to go through charitable giving, he's going to go through prayer, and he's going to go through fasting. Today, we're going to look at our reward for our righteous acts of charitable giving. Our reward for our righteous acts of charitable giving. Matthew 6, 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So this section of Scripture has to be broken apart and we'll put it back together. What I mean is this. Verse 1 is the setup for verses 2 through 18. Verse 1 is the setup for verses 2 through 18. Here's what verse 1 says. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So I picked out some words. We'll do a little bit of Greek study. We'll look at a few words that'll help us understand what Jesus is actually saying here. First one is take heed. Proseko. Proseko. And what that means is be alert for, watch out, be on guard, beware. That's what the word meant in Greek. Be alert, be aware, be on guard, watch out. So in other words, Jesus is saying, it's a very strong verbal warning. It's the same one given in Matthew 7:15. In Matthew 7:15, that same word is used. Beware, proseko, of false prophets who have come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. He is warning them, beware in Matthew 7:15, because he's talking about false teaching. He's just talking about the wide road that leads to destruction. The road is wide, and then he says, look out! Because who's leading you down that wide road is bad teachers. That's what that word, proseko, it's a lookout. So in this area of giving, saying, hey, take heed, beware, watch out. So this is important. Not that everything Jesus said isn't important, but when he says beware or watch out, proseko, then we might want to perk up. So the next one we're going to look at is the one for charitable deeds in verse 1. That word is dikaiosune. Dikaiosune. And it's a bad translation because it really doesn't mean charitable deeds. In verses 2, 3, and 4, we'll see it's a different word that's translated in the New King James, charitable deeds. Here, that word dikaiosune is righteous acts. It's righteous, what is right, and justice. That's what it meant in Greek. So in that first verse, it actually says, take heed or watch out that you do not do your righteous acts. That's actually righteous acts. It's the same word that's used in Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's that same word. Dikaiosune. That's the same word as here. So he's saying your righteous acts. When you are trying to do acts that are right and just. So verse 1 so far should more appropriately be translated, be aware, watch out that you do not do your righteous acts before men to be seen by them. That word to be seen, that phrase there to be seen, that word is theoumai. And theumai is actually the word we get theater. Okay? It's the word where we get our word for theater. So he's saying, men will watch you. Then we're going to take a word that's used in verse 2, hypocrites. This is a word you hear a lot around. The word is hupokrites. And the word means one who answers on stage, an actor, or a hypocrite. So what that word actually meant was someone who was an actor, who was on stage. So you got like a theater, right? Don't do them in front of people like an actor to be seen by them. So here's what a more literal rendering of what Jesus says in verse 1. Be aware, watch out, that you do not do your righteous acts before men, to be watched like them, by them like an actor. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you do your charitable giving, when you do your praying, when you do your fasting, don't do it like an actor, to be seen by men. When you practice religion, don't practice it for people. There always have been hypocrites amongst God's people, in and around God's people. There's always been hypocrites. There was hypocrites in the Old Testament we'll look at. There were hypocrites in Jesus' time. And there's hypocrites today. What I want you to listen for today, am I the guy or gal who does my religion so people see me? Listen, some of you need to hear this. There are people in this room that need to hear this. Do I do my religion just so people can see me? Is that why I do my religion? God has no use for hypocritical religion. We talked about it today, kind of. He has no use for your tithe or your offering that's given when you have conflict in the body. He says you might as well go away because he's not going to hear your worship. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 11 through 17, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, what has required this from your hand? To trample my courts. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of the assemblies. In other words, all of your religion. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. In other words, I can't handle your sin and these sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates, says God. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. He's saying, don't bring me your religion. I'm sick of it because you're a bunch of hypocrites. That's what he was saying in the book of Isaiah. They sicken me. I'm going to turn my face from you. So in verse 1, Jesus has said, hey, don't do your religion to be seen by men. Okay, so now that's the setup, verse 1. Now verses 2 through 4, he's going to actually talk about the first righteous act that he's going to teach on. He says in the beginning of verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed. Now, if you all mark in your Bibles, if you're all used to marking your Bibles, if you're not, I would encourage you to. But I would rather it mark your hearts. But will you see that word? Therefore, when. Underline it. When. Highlight it. When. It doesn't say if you do a charitable deed. It says when you do a charitable deed. Jesus is assuming that God's people will do charitable deeds. It's an assumption. It's a command. When. So some of us are going to listen today and say, you know what? I just might not be doing that. I've been ignorant. So if we're going to know that we're supposed to be, so we, beloved, are to be charitable. That's your blanks. We, beloved, are to be charitable. God's people are to be charitable, do charitable deeds. Now, if we're going to do that, we have to know what a charitable deed is, don't we? So the word is not the word used in verse 1 that was acts of righteousness. The actual word in verses 2, 3, and 4 is eleemosune. Eleemosune. And what that word means is acts of charity, actions of mercy to the poor, alms, donations, charitable gifts. So in this section of Scripture, what Jesus is teaching about is alms and giving to the needy, charitable gifts. It's the same word that's used in Acts 3:3. Acts 3:3, the crippled beggar is out in front of the gates of the temple. Okay? And then who, the crippled beggar, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So this is a crippled man, needy and poor. He's asking for eleemosune. He's asking for this charitable gift. So that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. Specifically, he's talking about charitable gifts. He's not talking about tithing. Okay? The tithe you bring to the church. And the tithe is there to pay the pastor, to take care of the facilities, and to take care of the needs of the people of the church. Okay, that's the tithe. Our offerings are something we also can bring to the church. And that's over and above our tithe, that we want to give more, that we can do those things. But this giving that he's talking about here, Jesus is not talking about that giving. He's talking about giving to the poor and needy. So when you look at this verse, understand these verses. It's about giving to the poor and needy. It's a separate issue. Nick preached on tithing 2 months ago. You can grab the sermon about giving he preached on, but tithing and giving he talked about. Today we're talking, Jesus is talking about specifically giving to the needy, the poor. And that's over and above your tithe and offerings. Okay, now the Sadducees and Pharisees were apparently getting this right. This giving to the needy thing. They were practicing giving alms. And they did that because, remember, they always wanted to be religious based on the Old Testament teaching. Leviticus 25:35 says this: if one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him, like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. In other words, whether the person is a Jew, a fellow Jew, or a stranger, if they're poor, you're to help them. Pretty clear. Again, in Deuteronomy 15:11, it says, for the poor will never cease from the land. Therefore, I command you, saying you shall open your... I command you, I don't suggest to you, God says, I command you, you shall open your hand wide to your brother, to your poor and your needy in your land. Pretty clear. God says, take care of the needy and the poor. It hasn't changed. Throughout the Proverbs 19:17, it says this: he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he, God, will pay back what he has given. God says, look, you give to the poor, I'm going to pay you back. Proverbs 21:13, whoever shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, we will also cry himself and not be heard. Look, if you see a poor and needy, if you see the poor and needy, and you ignore their cry, when you cry, it's going to be ignored, is what God says. Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Blessing is promised to those that give food to the poor. So, and it's not just an Old Testament concept. So the scribes and Pharisees appear to be getting it right because they were doing this based on the Old Testament. It's also taught in the New Testament. 1 John 3:17. But whoever has this world's goods, that's everyone in this room, oh, by the way. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, if you have God living in you, and God says take care of these people, and you don't, do you really have God in you? You can claim to be a Christian, he's saying. You can claim to be saved, but look, if you're not doing this, do you really have it? James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? If you don't do the works of helping the poor and needy brothers, what good's your faith? Do you even have faith? James would argue you don't. Because faith without works is dead. And the work he specifically speaks to is a poor and needy, naked and destitute. So, I said the Pharisees were getting it right. Not really. They were used to doing this. They were doing it lots. But they had twisted it like they twisted everything else. They were doing this regularly, But here's what they had did. They had given it a different place of importance. The Apocrypha. Do we all know what the Apocrypha is? Probably not. The Apocrypha is the 14 books in between the Old and the New Testament that a Catholic Bible would have, for instance. That's called the Apocrypha. It's books that aren't canonized. They aren't part of Scripture. They were added in the 15th century by the Roman Catholic Church. 15th century. But that Apocrypha was originally the scribes and Pharisees' writings. Okay? So in that Apocrypha, here's what it said in Tobit chapter 12, verse 8. It is good to do alms. Listen, it is good to do alms rather than treasure up gold for alms, delivered from death, and this will purge away every sin. They thought giving alms to the needy, right, would purge away every sin. So in other words, they said, look, all I got to do to get rid of sin is give money away, and I get rid of my sin. That's what it had come to mean for the Pharisees back then. In Sirach 3:30, here's what it says. Alms, same word, alms or offerings, will atone for sin. What atones for sin? Jesus Christ on the cross was the atonement for my sin. They had been living out and learning and doing that they said, if I give, then I'm going to atone for my sin. Now you understand why it says easier for a rich man to get in the kingdom? Because in their culture, they thought the more money you had, the better chance of you getting in, because you could give more money to the needy. Then what happened was the Catholic Church took this on. The Catholic Church took this on. In Pope Leo the Great, in about 450 AD. So Pope Leo the Great said, by prayer we seek to appease God. By fasting, by prayer we seek to appease God. What appeased God? Death. That's what appeased God. By fasting, we extinguish the lust of the flesh. And here's the last part. And by alms, we redeem our sins. So the Catholic Church took on... Part of the reason for the Reformation was because of these indulgences. And one of the things the Catholic Church was doing was saying, pay money to get rid of the sins of the people that are dead in purgatory. Those dead folks, if you pay some money, you can get them through. One of the reasons for the Reformation. But it came out of this time with these Pharisees, out of the Old Testament of giving these alms, because God expects us to give to the needy. So, beloved, we are to be doing charitable deeds. We are to be doing giving to the poor and needy. We are to be doing that. It's taught in the Old Testament. It's taught in the New Testament. Jesus said, when, not if. I want us to get that. We are to be doing that. Now that doesn't mean, this is a little bit of a sidebar, it doesn't mean you ought not use wisdom in who you give to. What poor and needy you might give to. Okay? Here's what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So if someone's capable of working, a professional beggar, please don't give them money. Is what this is saying. If someone has the ability, who Jesus was talking about, you understand culture was a lot different back then, but when a widow, when someone would be widowed, or with an orphan, they couldn't take care of themselves. They had no way to take care of themselves. There wasn't public aid. There wasn't government assistance. They had no way to take care of themselves. The only way they could take care of themselves is for the church to take care of them. So don't just go around throwing hundos around to everybody you see on a street corner. That's not what Jesus was teaching. That's not what we're teaching. But also remember, we are to be giving to the poor and needy. Just use some wisdom in who that might be. Okay, so we know we're commanded to do charitable deeds, to give to the poor and needy. Now let's look at how not to be charitable. How not to be charitable. Verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Do not do the hypocrites. Remember, those hypocrites are like play actors on a stage. And don't know if there was trumpets. There's really no historical evidence to prove that the Pharisees would sound trumpets. But what they clearly did is they made a big production out of their almsgiving. when they gave to the needy. They wouldn't go to where the poor people were. They would go to busy street corners, busy intersections, busy synagogues. Not in the temple, but in the surrounding area. And they would go there, and they would make a big production out of their giving. So that's what Jesus is saying. Don't make a big production so that you get glory from men. They were giving to be noticed. And Jesus is saying, don't give to be noticed. So, you may be sitting there saying, we don't do that, Pastor. We don't go out on the street corners and gather everybody around and say, okay, I'm going to give out $100, $5 bills at a time, everybody watch. You're saying, we don't do that. See these beautiful stained glass windows? Look at the bottom of them. They all got a name on them. So they could be noticed by men for their charitable giving. So they gave money over and above their regular church giving. They gave money specifically for their name to be on that so they could be remembered for their generosity. Well, we don't do that, Pastor. You sure you don't blow your trumpet? How about parachurch ministry banquets? Golf outings? How about when you're doing when you're giving money to a charity via an event and you get the gold giving status? Or the silver giver? Or the bronze giver? Or the title sponsor of the golf outing? Is that not pretty trumpety? Is that not pretty loud? Hey, look at me! I gave! See, the hypocrites gave in Jesus' time to get a lot of attention. And we have to watch our hearts if we're trying to get attention from our giving. I will tell you, if you're involved in a parachurch ministry, or if you're involved in receiving charitable donations, I would encourage you to consider stop blowing trumpets on behalf of the donors. Here, Matthew 18:7 says this, woe to the world because of the offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses comes. In other words, if you blow a trumpet on a donor's behalf, you brought the offense. Woe to you. Might be a warning to some of these that publicly recognize their donors. Beloved, when you give to the poor and the needy, refuse to be trumpeted. Refuse to be trumpeted. And then, well, I'm not giving then. Watch that heart. Hey, if I can't get a tax double donation, watch that heart. Not that getting a tax deductible donation is bad. My point is, what is your heart? You want trumpets blown. You want to be noticed. So we're not to give gaining attention from the people. We're not to give, you know, okay, so I make the donation. Look, you make a donation to CPC. Somebody's going to know. Because somebody has to actually enter in the books that donation. So you didn't try to be trumpeted there. But you know what? When you pick up the phone and you call the director and say, get my $10,000 gift. Just want to make sure you got it. Your heart shouldn't be that. You should not give to be noticed. Some of us need to hear this today. I've done this in my life. And I've repented of it. I have sinned by doing it to be noticed. All right. Let's see what Jesus says about how to be charitable. How to be charitable. Verse 3 through 4a. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. So the right hand in Jewish culture was the dominant hand. In their culture, not that everybody was right-handed, but when they spoke, remember we talked before about the right side was the best side? So the right hand was the one that you do normal daily activities with. So one thing Jesus is trying to say here, look, your right hand, normal daily activity is you should be helping the needy. your normal daily activity, you should be helping the needy and the poor. As Christians, we should be giving to the poor and needy regularly and discreetly. So discreet that we don't even notice it ourselves. Right hand's giving, left hand doesn't even notice. Now, I get it. This is a picture that would be, you can't really get there, right? I'll hide my left hand, you can't see, we don't have eyes. But what Jesus is saying is, look, regularly, normally be giving, but do it in such a manner that you don't even notice. If I give with my right hand and my left hand doesn't notice, how do I clap for myself? Can't do it, can I? But if my left hand notices how good I was, whew! Attaboy, way to be generous. Right? He's saying, normally give and don't even let your left hand. You don't even notice that you gave. It's just part of what you do. In your own heart. Now we're not talking about men, we're talking about ourselves. Inside of ourselves. That we be puffed up sometimes when we give. He's saying, no, don't even let your left hand know. No one else should know. No one else should congratulate us. Not even ourselves. Have you given and just really congratulated yourself? That was pretty nice. Attaboy, Mike. You really helped somebody out. You the man. I just love the visual. Think about this as you're giving. You can't clap for yourself when the left hand doesn't know what the right hand did. What's the sound of one hand clapping? Not much. Okay, now this verse does not mean that all works should be done secretly. Remember, what's Jesus talking about? Specifically, the giving to the poor and needy. That's what he's specifically talking about. If he was talking about all giving being done, all good works being done in secret, then Matthew 5:16 would be contradictory. Because in Matthew 5:16, remember, we're talking about salt and light, says, let your light so shine before men that what? They may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This passage earlier was, this passage was speaking against cowardice. Not being salt and light because you were worried about what people might think. So he's saying, quit being a coward. He's preaching against the sin of cowardice back here in Matthew 5. In Matthew 6, he's preaching against the pride and the arrogance of hypocritical giving, of alms, of to the poor and needy. See, when you give to FCA, I don't think you have to do it quietly. I don't believe their money goes to support impoverished people. Now, there are some impoverished people that might be touched by the ministry. So go ahead and get your gold level sponsor, I suppose. I wouldn't, by the way. I wouldn't. The issue is this. He's talking about when you give to the poor and needy, not all good works, but the good works of giving alms should be done in secret. Now, someone finds out, like we said, someone may find out about your giving. Now, are you a hypocrite? Probably not. What's your heart on the issue? Like I said, the gal who puts the money into the account at the parachurch ministry, she knows. She knows. Right? Does that make you a hypocrite? What was your heart? Did you intend? No, you didn't intend for her to do it. That's just the way the system works. One of the things that happened in the Reed family life, so here we go, right now, in front of men. One of the things that happened in the Reed family life was God put on our heart that we should be getting Christmas gifts for people we don't know in this neighborhood before we were even going here. We lived out there and didn't even know the west end of Davenport. Met a guy through Hoops for Hope. So one of the things we decided to do was we wanted to do that. Now, for a couple, 3 years, really nobody knew about that. And then, as a blessing to some other people, we encourage them to share in that process. Now, I don't know if I've just got my reward. I'm comfortable that my heart is that I didn't get a reward. I'm comfortable with the fact that those people receiving that gift that simply say, Jesus loves you. I have to change the saying, won't I? He might. That was supposed to be funny, but really wasn't, I suppose. That those were given in secret. But my point is, people knowing, my intent was never that people would know so that we would be glorified in front of men. That's the issue. That's the issue. That when you give to the poor and needy, what's your heart? Are you trying to be noticed? You have to search your heart for that. Right hand, left hand. Give and forget about it. Give so discreetly you don't even recognize it yourself, Jesus is saying. Give your charitable deeds and forget about them. God's going to remember. Okay? Give your charitable deeds and remember them. God's going to forget about them. Here's the reality, beloved. Any works we do, any charity we do, is of no benefit to us. There's no benefit to us. We don't get any credit. It's simply what God expects us to do. So we do it. Look at Luke 17:10 on the screen. Now before this, Jesus is telling him, look, does an owner have to tell his servant, thank you for doing his job? He makes me dinner? Well, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to tell him thank you. So likewise, you, disciples, apostles, when you have done all those things which you were commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. In other words, as I give, it's just the duty I do. I give my right hand, my left hand doesn't know. It's no profit to me. It's just what I'm doing, what I was told to do, what God commanded me to do. So there's no profit. Why am I looking for some kind of accolades? We don't need to be thanked. We just give because God says to do that. So far we've looked, we are to be charitable. We are to give to the needy. We are to give alms. We are not to give to be noticed. And we're supposed to give so secretly that we don't even notice. It doesn't even affect us. We don't even know we did it. Finally, every charitable act will be rewarded. Every charitable act will be rewarded. That's good news, right? Maybe. Depends on who's doing the rewarding. Look back at the scripture. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Look, if you give to the needy to draw attention to yourself, you are going to get the glory of man. When you are the gold medal sponsor of the CPC banquet, and it's up there on the bulletin, you have gotten your reward. It's done. Your reward is finished. So you got your reward. That's it. Be done with it. Now, if your heart is giving to the poor, what this is saying is if your heart is giving to the poor and needy in secret, not to be seen by men, so much that you don't even notice and applaud yourself, God will reward you. God will see it, and He will reward you. You give to the needy because God says you do, and He will reward you. Hey, Mark, did you get my $5,000 Christian Friendliness donation? Yeah, I wish I could have done more. You just got your reward. You just got your reward. You got no more coming. Hey, coworker, I just gave $25,000 to United Way. You just got your reward because your coworker thinks you're pretty cool. God sees our heart. Give in secret, God will see it and He will reward you. No fanfare, no attention, wanted or desired. Don't hope that people accidentally find out well, I'll try not to let him find out, wink, wink. Your heart should be that they wouldn't, because you're going to get your reward. God knows your heart. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give account. We will give an account for our heart for how we gave to the poor and needy. First of all, if we did, and then how we did. If in secret and then forgotten, God will reward you. By the way, that sounds like a selfish motivation to be rewarded by God. Kind of, doesn't it? It's okay to chase after rewards in heaven. It's okay to chase after rewards in heaven. Because you know what you're going to do with the rewards in heaven? Let's look and see what you're going to do with them. Revelations 4:10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. I desire eternal rewards. I desire eternal rewards." You know why? Because I get to lay Him in front of Jesus. Anything I get that isn't burned up, because it's going to be burned up, anything I didn't do for Christ. Anything I did do for Christ, I'm going to get to take that crown and lay at His feet. Oh, that's good stuff. That's so much better than somebody telling me I'm a gold level sponsor. Isn't it? Isn't it to be able to lay that crown at Jesus' feet? Man, that's good stuff. See, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, lots of wealthy folks have done a lot of really what we would call good stuff. Now, it's not. It's a filthy rag because it wasn't done under the Lord. But forget that sermon for a minute. They've received their reward. Their reward is completely and fully paid. Some of you are very... You admire them greatly for the work they've done, right? For the money they've sent to Africa. Idol Gives Back, Bill Gates is on there, you know, gave all this money to get nets so the mosquitoes wouldn't bite the kids and kill them, right? And everybody says, that's very admirable. Way to go, Bill Gates. He just got his reward. His reward's done. Now, for those that are perishing, that's enough of a reward. That's really what they're looking for. But for us, beloved, we don't want that. I want to be able to, probably not going to happen anytime soon, I want to be able to put mosquito nets up to save lives and the gospel message going with those mosquito nets and nobody know who did it. That's what I'd like to have happen. Remember, mosquito nets, gospel message, not just mosquito nets, gospel message, and nobody know who did it. I won't be an author, although Cal thinks I came up with the title of a book, and I remember what it was last night when we were talking, right? He said, that's a good title. Don't plan on being an author. If I were to be an author, and if somehow God would pour money into my life for that, that's the kind of thing I would want to do. So there's a couple of things to consider. Are you giving to the poor and the needy? Now, I will tell you one thing. In your tithes and the offerings here at this place, you are giving to the poor and needy. Right? Specifically, don't know how, and that's good that you don't know how. But don't rest your hat on that. Are you giving to the poor and the needy? If not, Jesus said, do it. When you do it. Now, when you are giving those, are you wanting to be noticed for your acts of righteousness? Are you wanting to be noticed for your charitable giving? Are you wanting to be seen? Listen, I know this is tough for some of you. If you will let the Holy Spirit work, you're being convicted. Because I know some of us in this room have done that very thing. And it's not about the $10,000 gift, the $100 gift that gets you in a bulletin listing. Let's go back to the 6, verse 1. Let's read this passage again now. Take heed, beware, watch out, be alert, that when you do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen like them, like an actor on a stage. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, a giving to the poor and needy, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they've had their reward. But when you, beloved, do a giving to the needy and the poor, don't even let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed, your giving to the needy, may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. We are gonna, look, who are you giving to the poor and the needy to impress? Search your heart. Who are you giving to the poor and the needy to impress? Are you doing religion? This is what they were doing. They were doing religion. And they were trumpeting and they were calling attention to themselves. And Jesus says, your reward is done. Finished. No more. Colossians 3:23, I want to be giving to impress God. Colossians 3:23 and 24, and whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you do, everything you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's true of you, if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything you do, whatever you do, it unto the Lord. So when you give to the poor and needy, do it so that it's not trumpeted. Do it so your right hand doesn't even know your left hand did. Vice versa. Do it that way. If you are doing it to impress men, you've gotten your reward, and I will tell you, that's not the heart of a believer. There might be ignorance in this room, but we're not ignorant now. Now we know what Jesus taught. Grace Fellowship Church, let's be a kind of people that give to the poor and needy and no one knows. Let's be that kind of people. Doesn't that kind of excite you? To give to the poor and needy and no one knows? And what happens is, as some of us will gather again, worshiping Jesus Christ for all eternity, we'll be laying some crowns together in front of Jesus' feet. It's so normal for us to remember our giving, to let our left hand know what our right hand's doing, to be trumpeted. Our whole system, you understand our whole system of charity is set up. There's professionals that come out and tell these organizations how to raise money. And what you do is you appeal to someone's pride and arrogance. Especially the wealthy. You appeal to their pride and their arrogance and they will give more. You blow a trumpet for them and they're going to line up like cattle. Here's the problem. If I'm running one of those and I don't do that, I won't get much. Then maybe the ministry shouldn't be had. Maybe. God's going to supply for what is His. Closing thought. All of the charitable deeds we do will be rewarded. We will receive either temporal or eternal rewards. Which type will be determined by our heart when we do those deeds. So I would expect after today's teaching, after Jesus teaching us, we would be people that would be more normally giving to the poor and the needy. And I would expect that we would be people at Grace Fellowship Church where we wouldn't see each other's names plastered on all these things that we did. And then remember, it's all about your heart. It's all about your heart. Jesus says, look, your outward acts, your outward... First of all, your innards are all messed up. Your hearts are wrong, and I showed you because you've been said, but I tell you. And now I'm telling you, your outward acts of religion, your outward acts of righteousness, in the form of how you give to the poor and the needy, doesn't please me. That's what Jesus is saying. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you again for your word. I know there's some in here sitting today saying, well, this doesn't apply to me. Father God, if it doesn't apply to them because they don't give to the poor and needy, that you would convict their hearts to do that. God, some are saying, this doesn't apply to me. Search our hearts, God. Help us to be a generous people. God, I pray today that this may be the truth that sets someone free, where they see they have been so self-centered in everything they do, it had nothing to do with you. And the key to that is they know their heart for their money. Pray for conviction of your Holy Spirit to rain down and grant them repentance. And I pray you would work in our hearts to give in the way you've told us to give. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.